from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When quarterbacks leave the pocket, there are a number of reasons for that. We talk about coverage sacks and coverage pressures. If you're too reliant on that number one guy or even the number two guy, and you're like, oh gosh, my first read is gone, now my second read is gone. If the reads are based on receiver talent or receiver ability to get open, it behooves Joe Brady to scheme these things open and have designs that give Josh that quicker, not easy read necessarily, but quicker.
Doug Farrar. I said Greco Salomon, Doug Farrar. Doug Farrar on One Bills Live yesterday. On the design of the Bills offense without a true number one. I was just driving yesterday, and just, of course, you know, like, it comes up on, the Bills come up on most football shows, so I'm listening to the Mina Kiem show yesterday, and they're previewing the AFC East. And she's talking about the Bills offense, and she's going through it, all the names, and Sal, I'm thinking to myself as she's going through their offense and the names, like, you know what? I mean, I don't think anyone's completely satisfied with what they are, because they don't have the true number one, and I think you want that eventually, even if you don't have it right now. But they kind of have everything else, don't they? Like, in terms of, like, your weaponry, like, what do you have? Do you have the pass-catching running back? Yes. Okay, do you have the number two receiver? Like, to me, that is Curtis Samuel. I think he's a good number two receiver on most teams. Do you have the slot guy? I think check, right? Khalil Shakir. Do I have the good tight end? Check. Do I even have the good 12 personnel number two tight end? Check on that box. Like, I feel like most of the boxes are checked. It's just the box at the very top is the one that we're still waiting to see.
Yeah, and I also I had Doug on the Extra Points show on Friday, actually, to talk about. Sure they brought it up on When Bills Live, and I'm sure the conversation was, you know, similar but also different. But the reason why is that I'm sure When Bills Live reached out, and I did as well. Doug wrote an article about teams pivoting away from a true number one wide receiver. It's at I believe it's on Bleacher Report.
Touchdown Wire.
Thank you. Thank you. So he wrote an article about this, like, kind of trend in the NFL, and in the article he says, and his conclusion is, after talking with personnel and coaches and quarterbacks, it actually could be beneficial for a lot of teams. Teams are saying, look, we don't have to, and here's the I don't want to sound like I'm kind of defending the people who say, oh, you had to force feed Stephon Diggs. That's not what I'm saying, because I think that there could be times that happen, but I don't think it necessarily was always true with the Buffalo Bills. But his conclusion after talking with a lot of these people, Joe, is exactly that, which is when you have a number one wide receiver, there is pressure to get him the ball in certain situations. Whereas if you don't have that true number one alpha male receiver out there that's your guy, your moneymaker, there's not that pressure and you kind of have everything a little bit more open to you. And it's just a bit of a mindset. It doesn't actually have to play out, but it's almost as like that mindset pressure to make sure you do it, right? And like he spoke with like in Green Bay and a couple other places how the quarterbacks, the coaches said it actually kind of helps the offense flow a little bit better because you don't have to do it that way. You don't have that pressure of having that one guy out there. And it was really interesting, the article.
Yeah, I read it too. He also, by the way, in addition to that, like he was active on Twitter yesterday, Farrar was, on you know, different Keon Coleman film clips from his college days. And he, I think he's in on Coleman. Like there were yards after catch stuff, right? Press coverage. He didn't see a lot of it, and he kind of had a clip of like, this is why. And it's just him bodying a guy that's trying to press him. So there are positives for Coleman too. To me though, like, I think the only thing I get tripped up with is saying that it would necessarily be a bad thing. I don't even think that's what Farrar is saying. I think he's just saying it's different and it can still work if you don't have a number one. I don't think anyone should think, though, you don't want a number one. Like you, because then that would be to say, like, oh, you don't want Keon Coleman to become as good as Stephon Diggs. Because to me, like, that would be psychotic to say that. That, oh, I don't want him to become this all-world, all-pro level receiver. I mean, sure, what you really want in a dream situation is to have two guys like that. Because then, oh, I don't really have an established, like, true number one. I have two number ones, so you still can't focus on one guy. You still can't focus on, you know, where the ball's going to go because everyone is so good. You know, that's where you want to end up in a dream situation. But, I mean, we want, what you really want is one of the Bills receivers to be so good and so open all the time, if not two guys like that, that they command targets that way. I don't want Allen feeling pressure to throw the football to guys who are covered, but isn't what made Stephon Diggs great not that Allen was forcing him the ball because he felt like he had to? Wasn't it because Stephon Diggs was open all the time?
Yes, I think that Stephon Diggs was open a lot, and that's why you do that, right? But I do understand the point of, and you can get in this, and I think that it'd be a, who's gonna come out and say, yeah, you know what, I just had to make sure I got him the ball. I'm not talking about even Stephon Diggs, anybody, yeah, number one wide receiver. I think it's more even about the mentality of it that's almost subconscious than it is about the actual practical operation of it. So when you have a guy like that on your team, he becomes, like, he's the focal point. You're paying him a lot of money. It's all through training camp. It's all through preseason. It's into the regular season. You get to the money downs. Sure, you want that guy to be your guy. No doubt. You want to get it to your best player. We'd be sitting here going, how are you not throwing to Stephon Diggs on third down in a critical situation? I get that. That happened in that Cincinnati game where the playoff game where Stephon is looking at Josh, right? Like, we talked about that. But at the same time, I do think that there's something to be said for having a mentality of, I don't have to think about that. I can look at the entire field, not have it in the back of my mind that that's got to be my guy. He's going to win more than anybody else.
Yeah. Do we?
Before it happens.
Yeah. Where do you think the Bills are on that? They have a team right now that does not have a number one. And I think, you know, like, I think the Packers blueprint, like, I like it. I like their receiving core a lot. I think it being held up as much as it is being held up is kind of crazy to me. But it's very good. And the Bills might hope to have the same thing this year, which is bunch of young guys, bunch of pretty good players, and the mix of them all together is going to give us the results we want. But is that forever? Like, do you think the way, I mean, they've had some of their greatest years in franchise history in the last four seasons that featured their star quarterback with a true number one wide receiver. And the league changes, I know, but do we think Bean would not chase the same type of idea in the future? Like a year from now, 2 years from now, if something falls in his lap that is expensive, but I can get my hands on another number one wide receiver. Do we think they would go back to that? That they would really want to return to having a true elite number one?
I think in a perfect world, that's what Keon Coleman becomes, and they're satisfied with that.
That's what I was getting to. Eventually.
Do I think that they're going to actively search for a guy on top of Keon Coleman, like after this year, how they view it? I think it depends on how it goes with Keon Coleman. I think he would like a number one receiver, yes. I don't think he wants to go out and pay $30 million for that.
Okay.
If you get it internally on a rookie contract, like Justin Jefferson became, and I'm not saying that suggesting Keon Coleman becomes Justin Jefferson, but a guy that, okay, this is my guy, and that I'll eventually pay him after 3 years. If I have to, I'll cross that bridge 3 years from now. That's different than I got to go out and find somebody right now.
Yeah. How likely do we think that is to happen? So Coleman is going to be one of, I mean, you even said this yesterday, like the receiver core as a whole is going to be the thing to watch at training camp. Coleman will be, though, the most curious, I think, of that group. Rookie, you know, polarizing prospect, right? Big catches, highlight reel plays. Like, there's no doubt that if you're a fan that wants to follow along training camp and maybe won't have the opportunity to get down to St. John Fisher or maybe can only go for like one of the days, and you're following along on social media and online throughout the week, in the couple of weeks, like you're going to see Keon Coleman highlights. Like, right? Like, he's just that type of player. He's going to have a couple insane catches that are probably going to go viral. So he's going to be interesting to watch. How likely is it that he's going to be that? That he is going to, like, what type of season do you think he could have or needs to have so that we're still thinking in a year, oh yeah, he's on track, like, this could really be our number one. We don't have to go searching for it. We don't need to go trade for Brandon Ayuk. And Farrar, who he came in with a clip of, he wrote a story, I think, did he publish the Coleman one yesterday? What's today? July 9th.
He had some clips yesterday, so it's very possible.
He had some clips. I think he had a whole story, though, too, about him. Yeah, he did. Published it yesterday at 3:30. And the title of his piece, Farrar, was How Keon Coleman Could Become the Bills' Next Number One Wide Receiver. And he compares him to Metcalf in this, like trying to figuring out how to use the freak athleticism that you have while also, you know, finding a way to not let your weaknesses damage you too much. That's what Metcalf has figured out. Metcalf is not a very quick receiver. Like, side-to-side movement, lateral movement is not really his thing, but he's figured out, his coaching staff's figured out, his quarterback's figured out how to maximize his strengths, and it's allowed him and minimize the weaknesses, and it's allowed him to be a number one receiver in the league. And I think that's kind of what Farrar's getting after, which is, okay, sure, Coleman's got to work on certain nuances with his route running and vertical speed, you know, like that might be a little bit of a weakness, but here, if he focuses on these types of routes and these types of plays and yards after catch is what it could be, then, all right, I don't have to worry about the 4.6 speed and can he beat a guy one-on-one down the field with speed? Because if he's so good at all these other things, okay, there's a number one receiver in there. And I have more been setting my expectations lower. Like, I don't know where you're at, Sal, but I put a poll up earlier about, like, would you take Gabe Davis for Keon Coleman? Like, would you take Keon Coleman being as good as Gabe Davis? And I've, I guess, been thinking more about him more likely becoming that level of player. Like, very
do you
good.
Mean just production wise, would you take the numbers? Is that what you're asking?
That's more what I mean, because I think they're different types of players. But sure, right, the numbers. Like, I'm talking, what was Davis really? Like 700 yards ish, 7 touchdowns, maybe on average. Like, and what was that? It was a good, very good, all around 4-year starter that played every snap, blocked. You know, like, I guess I'm maybe setting my expectation low if I'm saying that for Coleman, but I feel like that's a good result if I get that from Keon Coleman, no?
It's a tough one. I mean, He's the
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
First pick of the second round. Gabe Davis was a fifth round pick.
Was he fourth or fifth? He might have been fourth.
Fourth round.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis was a fourth round pick. Gabe Davis kind of exceeded his draft spot. I think that those numbers probably are a little low for the first pick of the second round, but if they're solid, I think you got to have a 1,000-yard season mixed in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if Keon Coleman never breaks 1,000 yards, I think we're sitting here saying that that's disappointing.
Interesting. If he never breaks, yeah, could he have? That's
this year he doesn't have to. This year,
but eventually.
He doesn't have to. But if in 4 years from now we're talking about him hitting free agency and looking back and saying his high watermark was 850 yards,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's good enough.
That's a good question. See, I might say it is. But part of that is my expectation of the player. Like, Farrar, mm-hmm. I'm actually glad Farrar put this piece out because I feel like I still need a little bit of convincing on Coleman. And that's going to come maybe even in training camp and preseason, too, where, like, between now, I kind of go back and forth on him. It's been a roller coaster where he was the receiver in the pre-draft process that I convinced myself was the one I didn't want. For the Bills, just too afraid of the profile, the speed element, and the yards per route run stats. If you want to get, there's deeper numbers too that kind of look scary. Before the draft, I'm like, not the guy for me. And then they picked him, and I heard enough people that really dug into the film and watched him at Florida State, and maybe who was it? Was it Ben Solak we had on the show? One of the Ringer guys came on and was like, oh, all in. On this guy being like a top level receiver in the NFL. Like, I heard enough people defend the idea where I thought, okay, no, this is good. This could really work. And now that time's passed since then, I feel like I've retracted a little bit closer back to, man, the yards per route run, man, the 40 time, man, the, you know, some of the weaknesses in his game. It's hard not to see that. I feel like I need some convincing. That's why I'm glad, like, Farrar writes that piece yesterday where, like, oh, no, like, could he be DK Metcalf? Like, no, that's in there. Like, that outcome is not impossible for Keon Coleman to come be, you know, what's DK Metcalf? He's a good number one. He's not, like, the best, but he's a very good number one receiver in the league.
I think what a lot of this comes down to, the way you're talking, it feels like you would have a different opinion about all of this if they had a number one wide receiver like Stephon Diggs. Let's say they never trade Stephon Diggs, and they still do everything else mm-hmm. the same. Okay, they don't sign Curtis Samuel, right? So we just replace Diggs with Samuel, all right? And then they still draft Keon Coleman. I don't think you're having the same thoughts you're having right now.
I think they
because
be...
your expectation, you. I think because I think the fan base is like this, and I understand. I'm there too. I get it.
Yeah.
You need a. You're so used to having a number one wide receiver with Josh Allen the last few years. You don't really have that. You're hoping Coleman becomes that. There's expectations there. If you have Stephon Diggs on this team now, and he's clearly the number one, I don't think you're having the same thoughts you're having about Keon Coleman, and you're much more accepting of kind of who he is and what he is and thinking, okay, this will work, because you don't need him to become that number one wide receiver.
I think that's a good thought experiment. Like, I'm trying not to fall into that trap, but I probably am. If Diggs is still here, and if they hadn't traded him, and listen, they signed Curtis Samuel before they traded Diggs, and we thought even before they dealt Diggs, we thought they were going to draft a receiver, or at least we wanted them to, and it was like the favorite for them to pick. So if Diggs is here and they draft Coleman and Samuel's here, I think this question might be easier of, like, is Gabe Davis an acceptable result? Because I've still got my number one. Maybe not for the future. Maybe for this year it would be like an immediate yes. Like, okay, absolutely. I'm just trying to figure out, like, where to set the bar, where to set my expectations for Coleman. And I guess, like, a Davis-level number two receiver that sure has got some weaknesses, but he still is an effective player. I feel like I can't call that disappointing. But
you know what this reminds me of? This is our Sabres discussion about... if you're going to have a guy in the top six, he's got to have certain numbers, but I'm okay with him falling short of those numbers if he's in the bottom six.
Right. That's true. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's get Dan in Lockport on this. What's up, Dan?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I'll be happy to take Davis's numbers as long as he, you know, gets double-digit touchdowns. I mean, we haven't had a real red zone threat. I mean, what we have, since Allen's been our quarterback, Diggs had 10 touchdowns, double-digit once, and he's the only guy to do it. If we can use him in the red zone, maybe break one or two a season, but in the red zone, get him double-digit touchdowns 3 out of 4 years with Davis's numbers, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Dan, for the call. That would be to say, like, hey, if the receptions and the yardage is similar to Davis, but I'm getting, you know, 70% more touchdowns. And the one thing, like, Davis got touchdowns. Like, he had 27 in 4 years. His touchdowns were different, though, right? Like, Davis's touchdowns, a lot of them were, you know, big plays. He's running past defenses, or, you know, I think of the Minkah Fitzpatrick play, right, where he's got a guy draped on him, but he comes down with it on a deep touchdown. How often were they throwing to Davis, like, in the red zone? Like, wasn't that often, right? Like, those aren't the plays I'm thinking of for Coleman. Coleman's touchdowns, I wonder what those will look like, because I don't know that I want him just running straight fade routes all the time, because those plays aren't, you know, high percentage, but it kind of seems like what he's really good at. Like, oh, I'm just going to throw the ball near him, and he's going to come down with it.
Yeah, I mean, well, some of the stuff that Doug Farrar posted on Coleman yesterday, some of it was on press coverage, why he didn't see a lot. Right?
Yeah, yep.
I think some of it coming out was... we didn't see a lot because you didn't have to. He wasn't like you could just play off him a little bit. He's not going to blow by you. He actually went the opposite and said no, because if you pressed him, like, he just beat you with his size off the line, and the way that you, if you're going to kind of be near him, he's going to get a jump ball. He's going to out jump you. He's going to be in a better spot than you to catch the ball. I think it was super interesting, kind of how you look at it. So now this falls on Joe Brady to me, and yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with the caller of they would be nice if. You can live with a little lack of the total numbers if you're getting the scoring coming with it. And maybe mm-hmm. that's more his role this year.
This year, I think, for sure, right? Like,
right.
If he has, yeah, I'll use Gabe Davis again for this, but for the rookie year. If he has the year Gabe Davis did last year, 81 targets, 750 yards, 7 touchdowns, and sure, there were games he disappeared. And then there were a couple of games where he had big monster games. Tampa comes to mind. With a rookie, like, then that's acceptable, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Look, there's two conversations here, Joe. What are you looking for this year,
right,
as a rookie? And what are you looking for over the next few years in his career arc? I just find it hard to almost any rookie that comes in. Yes, you want him. I know the situation, and it sucks for him that suddenly he's thrown into the situation where there's no Diggs and there's no Davis and there's all these targets they have to make up for. And now here's your receiver you're putting in as your first pick of the draft, even though it's second round. And now the expectations are higher because I don't think that's fair to him.
Yeah.
Because in any other situation, I'm not like holding him to that standard.
That's true, right? It depends on the individual sometimes too. Because like what I remember about Davis when he first got here was, oh, man, look how good this looks. Let's see more, you know? Let's see more of it. But they had so many other good receivers. They had, you know, Beasley played the slot every play, and then they had Sanders at the time, and they had, before that, even John Brown, and Diggs was here, obviously. Like, Davis just, there wasn't a spot for him. Like, other than, you know, if there was an injury, he'd come in, of course, all the time, and then he'd get in on certain packages. But those first 2 years of Davis were, okay, like, we think there's more here. Like, part of the reason he didn't even crack 600 yards those two seasons, I don't think it was his fault. It was just they had so many other receivers. Versus Coleman, it's a little bit of both, right? Like, there's expectations, and there's a need for him to perform right away, which is pressure, and how will he handle that? There also, though, is opportunity. There's more opportunity for him than other rookie receivers that have come through this team in recent years because of their situation. And, you know, that means it could really go either way. And that if he performs like a Davis did right away, like he'll get more targets than Davis did when he showed up. He'll get more than 62 targets like Davis had as a rookie if he's that good right away as a rookie. So I'm just the totality here, like to summarize for me personally, the Doug Farrar piece from yesterday and, you know, all the Coleman talk we're going to have and I've already had, I'm working to not be closed off to he could be a number one receiver. Because I think I arrived at that point at some point in this pre-draft process and in this spring, I don't think he could be a number one. And I'm trying to leave myself open to that, okay, no, he could. He could. It might not look like what Diggs looked like, but it could still be a number one receiver level of play in this league. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you've got a thought on Coleman, we're a couple weeks away from Bills training camp. 803-0550. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. And I got some hockey to get to as well. Nolan Bianchi coming up at 8 o'clock. So a lot to get to here on a pretty warm Tuesday. We're going to be getting the hurricane remnants. I saw in the next couple of days.
Yeah, unfortunately, because we have playoffs going on in Little League, and like we have our first playoff game tomorrow. I do not think it's going to happen based on what the weather looks like. I actually chatted with Pat Hammer yesterday about it, and he said, "Yeah, I mean it's not looking great. I mean things can change, but there a lot of that is coming this way, Joe."
Yeah, 98% chance of precipitation tomorrow. So,
yeah.
Well, let's hold out for that 2%.
I think it'll be prolonged, too, by the way.
Yep, that's right. 803-0550, it's Joe and Sal. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.